All right, Cobb, down in Augusta, Georgia, we got the tradition unlike any other. We've got a little bit more of a fiery Augusta National. Not a lot of rain, none scheduled in the forecast. Playing a little bit firmer, a little bit faster. Got to think that that's obviously going to only continue throughout the weekend. But tied at the top of the leaderboard, Sam Burns fires a 67. He is in the house at 5 under par. He is currently tied with defending champion Rory McIlroy, who heads to the 16th tee after draining what was like about a 25-footer for birdie on 15 last year.
He got a perfect read. He had a perfect read from Cam Young, who had a little chip from the same line. Rory peeks his head in there, looks at the line. Oh, you didn't put enough break on that. And he puts another foot of break on his putt and sinks it right in the heart. It's like you cannot give a PGA Tour player, let alone one of the top five players in the world, like a perfect line and then expect it not to go in. Just a beautiful putt there from Rory. So he's looking good, man. Like, how insane would it be? And I don't mean to get you all excited because I know how much you love Rory, but like to go 16 Masters without winning and then to win consecutively 17 and 18, like that would be historic.
I think it would actually prove that his Augusta record was more mental than it was something about his game.
Yeah. Well, you get enough cracks at it, right? Like eventually you're going to break through and then he does break through and now it's like the seal is broken and he's looking good. But of course, like Scotty's right there, well, minus three through six.
Again, he's only played six holes, but I just felt like coming into this weekend, people were getting overly critical of Scotty. And I understand that his iron play this season has, not even by his standards has been awful, but by even PGA Tour standards, it's not been good. Like, he's in the 80s in terms of iron play, but I really just felt like we were getting overly critical with Scotty because how many people coming into this year, he hasn't missed a cut, he has a win, I think he has four top five finishes.
Let's also not forget he had like a pregnant wife who's about to give birth, and now he's got another newborn. I'm telling you, there's something to that.
Well, the other aspect of that is, I can't remember what's his younger son's name?
Bennett.
No, Bennett's the older one.
Oh, right. I don't know what the younger one is.
Was he the youngest patron ever at Augusta?
I mean, the kid's like two weeks old. So
I think he's
yeah.
like 11 days old. Has there ever been anyone younger on the grounds?
No, because nobody else would bring a child of that age to Augusta National. So if you win the ticket lottery as a patron, what are babies even allowed in? Like, surely there's some rule against that, you know?
I don't know. Shout out to Meredith Scheffler. Like, this is like 11 days after giving birth, and like she's just like trotting around the grounds, like baby strapped, like on that. What do we call those? Like front backpacks,
like baby Bjorn or whatever it's called.
Whatever that was, just trotting around. So Rory just hit his tee shot on 16. It caught the wrong side of the slope. So we are very much in three putt territory. But Cobb, the biggest win for Rory was last year. He got to 16 tee, also at 4 under, and finished the round at even par. He then converts after driving it left. He laid up, turns that into a birdie. So he's at least, I feel pretty confident that he's not going to go double, triple. I think he's going to probably get under par to finish his first round. When is the last time the defending champ was tied for the lead? Was it Spieth in 16?
Yeah, right before the implosion, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't also realize, so we have 86, which is, of course, Nicklaus, the last one, and we had guys collapsing down the stretch. 96 is Norman with the five-shot lead, losing by six.
Mm. So it's a bad, like, six is a bad year.
It's like it's devilish, but I don't think anything bad happened in 06. 06
was that one
Phil,
of Phil's?
Right? That's right. Because Phil was the even years, right? 04, 06, 08.
Yeah, he won in 06. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the pine straw. That's the iron shot from the pine straw. I think that's the 06 year. Rory, nice lag putt. So he's going to head to 17T, still on top. All right, here's some other names. We have Burns tied at the top at 5-under. Rory, also at 5-under. The kitty cat, Kurt Kitayama, at 3-under. He's in the house. J-Day. We got J-Day back in the mix. He's at 3-under currently. P is back in the mix. P got up and down from the bunker on 18 to get in at 3-under. He was also at one point tied for the lead, but then he hit it in the water on 15. Aaron Rye at 3-under. Ludvig at 3-under. Scheffler at 3-under. Shane Lowry at 2-under. Tommy Ladd at 2-under. Xander Schauffele, 2-under. Your boy Fred Couples. You said he was only going to birdie the first, but he birdied the first two, and then he's just put together seven straight pars. Plays the front in 2-under. Jay Rose at 2-under. JT at 2-under. Gary Woodland, 2-under. Hao Tong Lee, 1-under. Is that Nick Taylor?
Yeah, a lot of red. A lot of red.
I got to be honest with you, Cobb. I had no idea Nick Taylor was in the field.
I got to think there had to be an exemption. Like, what was the – I'm not sure how he qualified. I'm with you. But there always are a handful of guys who I'm like, wait a second. You're not a past champion. You're not playing well on the PGA Tour. What is it that got you in again? He's one of those guys.
Spieth is at 1-under.
We'll see how long that lasts. There's a double coming. I can guarantee you that.
All right, so here's my favorite thing. Of the guys that are front page of the leaderboard, who has absolutely no chance of winning? Let's say of the 3-unders or better.
Okay, because if you're drawing the line at 2, as much as it would break my heart to say it, Fred Couples. So Kurt Kitayama, though, at -3. I'd love to be wrong about this because I threw like $4 on him prior to the tournament beginning. And let me tell you, that would pay out quite nicely to the extent that I went to go look at what the cash out would be just now, because I'm like, yo, this guy's tied for third right now after his first round. Surely I can get a pretty good cash out. No, not really. I can. It's still only slightly more than what I wagered. So Vegas seems to think that Kurt Kitayama has basically zero chance of sticking in this tournament, even though he's had one of the better first rounds.
I do regret to inform you he is fourth in strokes gained putting in his round. Usually the guys that ride the hot. Now, if you want me to spin zone for you, if it's going to play as fiery as it is, there's going to be an advantage to being in the fairway, and he's going to be in the fairway.
Yeah, all right. You could probably say the same about Aaron Rye at -3 through 9. He could implode here in the next 2 hours. So I always think about Aaron Rye, like whenever I see Aaron Rye's name on the leaderboard, I think about him at one of the WGC events in Memphis. And I'm pretty sure he had like Jonathan Fly caddying for him or a local.
Jay Fly?
Yeah.
I guess I could text him and find out.
I just always think about that because I followed him around one day. And he was double, you know, he double gloves. And I was like, man, that is so weird. But he's not one that I typically trust to hang around on a major championship leaderboard.
I need to know what Lady J is doing on the grounds. We got Reed back in the mix. Like, we got to
she's not going to be on that burner Twitter account because you can't have your phone. You can't have your phone.
But she can still fire off takes tonight. Like, that's the thing about Reed. Reed's so detestable that it really distracts you from, in an era where all these guys play the exact same game, his game is actually interesting, but he's so unlikable that you can't even get past it. Like, his short game is disgusting. But the guy, like, in an era of just like bombers. Does not bomb it off the tee. Did you see also Lady J booked him a new, he's got a new sponsorship this weekend?
Who's that?
It's like one of the new like private jet subscription companies, but it's not NetJets and it's not, what's the other one we had? NetJets. What's the other big one? What's the one they all have? It's not Bajet either.
I was gonna say, yeah, Bajet. It's the guy from Shark Tank. Who's
yeah, but no, there's it's NetJets, and then what's the other one? Wheels Up. It's not either of those. Also, I was reminded. Was it you that told me you went back? Did you rewatch that Masters final round?
Oh, I rewatched a lot of them.
Pete, we do not talk about the fact that he won the Masters, I believe, with CBD Med on his hat.
Back before it was legal.
Correct.
Kind of edgy.
Well, there was always the whispers that Lady J was like buying his clothes off the rack and just like ironing on sponsorships that didn't exist.
Well, hey, the good news is that he's coming back from LIV. He doesn't have to wear that stupid LIV team stuff anymore. He can actually wear sponsored apparel.
But like, that's the other thing about Reed is like, of the things that like we should kind of celebrate, he does embody it, but he's just so unlikable. Like, you know, he was the guy that didn't complain on LIV about the world ranking things. Like, he would just go and play like Singapore. He would go around the world, like, playing golf tournaments, trying to get his points up. He leaves LIV after, allegedly, so his brother-in-law is his caddy, and apparently his brother-in-law got, like, a four aces tattoo, and P told him, like, hey, that's cool, man, but, like, we're leaving. And, like, he's been playing the DP World Tour. He's been winning. Like, he does things that you should like, but, God, is he just... It's just like the finished product you can never get behind.
It makes me think about this this Nebraska guy.
Oh, yeah, the tattoo?
Burke. I can't pronounce his last name. But he's one of these Eastern European guys on Nebraska. He gets this, 28-3 or whatever their record was.
Yeah, it was like 28-7 or whatever.
Yeah. And then the next day he enters the transfer portal after tattooing himself with a permanent memento of Nebraska's great season. He throws up the deuces.
Hey man, no one can ever take that season away from him.
That's true. I mean, you know, are you a Husker for life though? Like if you choose to use your remaining eligibility somewhere else, or what would be even funnier is if he intended to be a Husker for life, he gets tatted. Then he goes into Hoiberg's office the next day and Hoiberg's like, look, man,
hey,
you might want to go somewhere
else. We got like a bunch of other guys coming in here, man. And like, you can stick around, but like, you're not getting paid.
It's just so college sports right now. You get tatted. Granted, we know the situation with Ja, right? A little different circumstances there, but it's like, it's just so college sports.
Also, I'm hearing reports that Bryson left a ball in the bunker three times on 11. Did you get eyes on that?
Oh, no, I didn't. I mean, I'm seeing him hop into a bunker right now. So maybe it's what I'm about to watch, but that's saucy if so.
Yeah, Bryson currently 3 over on the 18th tee, or he's in the bunker on the 18th fairway. Cobb, I think Bryson's going to have to go back to the hotel or the Airbnb. He's going to have to get the 3D printer out and print some new irons again. I don't think these were working.
He's so mad about his shot on the 18th right now. Yeah. Oh, gosh. He just missed out of the fairway bunker he missed the green by about 40 yards. I don't think Bryson, I mean, never say never, but he's going to have to go about 4 or 5 under tomorrow just to see the weekend a year after being in the final pairing.
Yeah, but like, was it not a little alarming to you? Like, he exerted all that effort to get in there with Rory, and like, he was done by the 9th hole.
He was. And then, I mean, yesterday I watched the par 3, dude. They had him paired with Kevin Hart to like give it some juice, I guess. And like so Bryson was just so not, he was so not into it. He was just so dead.
So let's talk about that. I didn't have sound on. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a fair amount of it, yeah.
I was under the impression, that felt like something Bryson and his social team organized.
Yeah, but then, like, why was he just, he wasn't into it, man. Like, he didn't, it's like he was, didn't want to be there, is what the vibe I got. And then it's like, I don't, why do we got to bring Jason Kelce and Kevin Hart to like Augusta? Like, what?
Okay, so what? This was my other speculation. So I think one thing I do love about Kevin Hart is he is extremely transparent. Like, I really do believe if we wanted an award show, like the Jeffrey Wright and Company, as long as we met the number that his appearance fee is, that guy's showing up. He's also in business with Amazon. And so I was wondering if that was an Amazon activation. Because the other thing with Kelce is, Kelce's clearly an ESPN property. Like, they are, we are getting the Jason Kelce, like, force-fed diet.
And he's great, right? But, like, he's on more stuff now than Stephen A. Smith. And it's like,
by the way, did you see that yesterday? Stephen A's going, he thinks that there are people at ESPN that are trying to get him fired.
he said that on the ESPN show?
Yeah, and he like used it as a warning. Like, if you do come after me, he's like, you're going to unleash the dragon or something like that. I was like, Stephen, there's no one at ESPN that is like allowed to do what you do.
Also, I'm sure there's something in his contract that would preclude him from trashing the network or airing dirty laundry if they were to come out. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they're going to go the Jerome Tang route and fire him with cause. But,
well, for a while, I wondered if he was doing the, kind of saw Feinbaum do this. Remember when Feinbaum was considering the senator run?
Right.
The playbook is, have ESPN fire you, and so you can use that as like the attention platform.
Oh, I got fired by woke ESPN to support my political campaign.
Correct. Right? I was wondering if Stephen A was setting that one up. Like that's like inside zone for a lot of political campaigns, like first play you put in.
I could see it. I just don't feel like the Masters needs the celebrity to appeal. Like, are we really trying to appeal to the casuals? Like, the thing about the Masters is, like, it should be something that, like, you find and, like, discover and fall in love with on your own. Like, do we need Jason Kelce out there doing the Camilo Villegas, like, spider putting reads to, like, engage the casuals? Is that where we're at with the Masters? Like, really?
So, I guess my thought on that is, if it's the par three, I don't care. I find it like if they start force feeding us that this kind of content during the broadcast, then I get annoyed. I will tell you what's way more offensive to me. Have you seen these pimento hats and like skip it? You're Augusta National. You're above this.
Agreed.
Like, get them out of here. Like, how far are we? Like, how far away are we from like Good or Grant Horvat or like
right? Like, yeah, we're gonna get YouTube golf at Augusta National.
Yeah,
on
like
Monday.
And especially after Ridley,
he stiff armed the PGA Tour basically.
Well, he did. He bodied Rolap yesterday. Like he did the whole like if you really want to come after me, like see how that gets you. But Ridley even said yesterday, like, hey, man, we had Dude Perfect out here a couple of years ago. And it's like, in hindsight, that wasn't a good idea. And yet we were getting force-fed all that stuff yesterday. Also, I got a new Ridley take. You ready?
Okay.
I think the accent might be fake. He's from Tampa.
Well, he's like the least southern chairman.
So my thought is, Augusta National, everyone acts like it's this like bastion of like Southern like class. It's all like executives now. Like no one's from Augusta. But I think that they have to have their front man sound like he's from Augusta. I've never met anyone from Tampa, Florida that talks like Fred Ridley does, who talks like he's literally from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, right. If you live in Tampa, 90% chance you move there from somebody else, right, or your second generation at most. Like, and even if you lived in Tampa, you're a seventh generation Tampanian. Like you're not a Southerner. Like
Tampa,
I'll give you Jacksonville. I'll give you the Panhandle.
Yeah,
but the rest of Florida is not like the South. You know?
No,
what I'm
like I'm a little woke on that. The other thing. So we had a couple of the other highlights today. Xander hit a tee ball that wound up in a merch bag.
Yeah, I saw that.
Had to take a drop from the merch bag. Aldrich Potgieter, who was like one of the first people off today, hit a cold, like just rope, like hosel rocket on one. That was awesome. I got to see this Bryson leaving in the bunker three times on 11.
Yeah, so Potgieter shot an 84, so that first drive was a harbinger of things to come for him.
Also, I believe our boy Davis Riley was like 10 over through 10.
It's a tough course, man.
Well, remember, didn't he have the driver yips last year?
It's a tough scene, like to show up to Augusta and like not have your stuff. Like, you know, you're not going to not play, but at the same time, it's you know, you got to be ready to go this week.
All right. Rahm is also 3 over through 8. Do we need like a, is there like a, there's something about, I get it. We only see the LIV guys for 4 tournaments, but like, shouldn't he be better than this?
He's gotten worse since he went to LIV. There's just no way around that. He's a significantly worse golfer now than he was before he left.
At what point, why do we still have LIV?
Nobody's, well, FS2 has to have something to put on TV at 3 in the morning.
But I mean, they're getting like nothing. Like they could put pickleball on and get better numbers.
Probably.
Like what? Why are they just lighting money on fire?
I don't know. So Bryson, okay, so he had a side slope lie in the bunker on 11. He kind of chunks the first one, gets to the center of the bunker.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have 6 iron length wedges.
Oh, I mean, this second one in particular, just a very basic run-of-the-mill greenside bunker shot that a PGA Tour professional puts within 5 feet 90% of the time. And he duffs it completely.
Man, I absolutely hate that for him.
And then he finally gets out, but leaves himself 15 feet. Brutal, man. Like, he's not, I'm sorry, I don't think he's going to make the weekend because there's been so much that's gone wrong for him today. It's not like, oh, he just got a few bad breaks. Like, he legitimately played horrible golf today.
All right, let me pull up his numbers. What he fired 75, right? All right.
Well, he birdied 17, and he's about to finish up 18. So, yeah, if he pars 18, 75, yeah.
All right, so, all right, let's see. Three overs. All right, he was 26th in putting, 82nd around the green, but I got to figure a lot of that comes from the leaving 3 in the bunker on 11. 66th in strokes gained approach, 50th in off the tee, 60th, tee to green, 55. Like, he literally did nothing well today.
So let me ask you this, Jeffrey. Have we reached a point in the post-Tiger era of professional golf to where for a major to have maximum juice on the weekend, Bryson's the guy who has to make the cut in order for the ratings to like really shine. Because that's not the case for me. In fact, I'd actually honestly prefer a Saturday, Sunday at Augusta without Bryson, because I think it's a ridiculous sideshow. But think about the kids that are 10 years younger than us or 15 years younger than us who only watch golf on YouTube, and he's like their hero and the reason they like golf, and you don't have him. Are those kids who only just sit on TikTok all day, are they actually going to turn the TV on if he's not playing?
Well, I would ask, are they turning the TV on anyway? Because it seems
maybe they
like,
would if Bryson's playing.
But I don't
maybe
think
they would.
I don't think that generation watches live.
Well, let me tell you then, there's going to be a lot of media companies in some serious debt in about 10 years if that generation doesn't watch anything live.
Oh, it's a real thing, man. Like, I that is a real discussion.
Man, not only am I like, I watch things live, I'm like 80 years old in the sense of like, I'll tape things and watch them later. granted, I fast forward through the commercials, so I don't know how that resonates.
I DVR'd live from all week.
Yeah, right. So that's like, I love the fact that golf is in a place now where like, nobody's talked about Tiger today. Nobody's talked about the fact that Tiger's...
Well, Gary Player did.
But you get what I'm saying.
Well, the problem is Tiger sucks all the oxygen out of any event that he's at, and you got it forever. But even like, let's say that last week never happens or 2 weeks ago never happens. He's not a competitive golfer.
Exactly. And we finally come to grips with that. Finally. And it's like, you know, 10 years ago when he was going through injuries and going through personal stuff, but he was still in the age of competitive golf. Like he was 40 or 39 or whatever. And it was like, oh my gosh, Tiger's not playing this week. So what are we going to have? Lucas Glover versus Jason Day? Like, oh, and then like finally Jordan Spieth emerged to save the sport in that generation with like JT and Ricky. And then, you know, eventually now we've gotten to a really healthy place where there's like a lot of really compelling good golfers, and Rory's really stable, like been stable, you know, over a long portion of his career after his like, you know, early 20s when he kind of had all of his achievements, and it was like, is he going to stay at the sport? And it's like, you know, he's still at the top. Right. And so like, there's all these other good players, good stories to where it's not dependent on Tiger anymore. And I'm just, because like I said, a decade ago, I didn't know we would ever get there. It was like, is golf ever going to be?
Oh, you mean like the wilderness where we had like, with all due respect, Luke,
JB Holmes,
like Luke Donald was world number one. Martin,
it was awful.
We had a Martin Keimer stretch, Lee Westwood. And, I mean, like if you look at it, like, I don't think this tournament needs Bryson because like for right now, like Rory's on 18T at 5 under. If he ties for the lead and Scotty, like if Scotty and Rory are there on the weekend, like,
oh, it's
people
gonna
are gonna
fantastic.
Watch
Ludvig. If he's there, I think he will, you know,
well,
until looks like he might be
until Sunday,
but the collapse will be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Justin Rose, I think draws, like, you know,
I've done such a 180 on Rose. Like,
I love him.
The fact that all of his friends and his peers just went and took the payday from Liv, and this guy didn't do it and like got his game back in his 40s when nobody does, when no one could have really faulted him for going and taking whatever the payday would have been over there. And like the fact that like he's still just this competitive, like I respect the hell out of it.
Oh, no doubt. I couldn't agree more. Look, we got JT minus two. So I mean, it's early still, but this could be a really good leaderboard even without Bryson and Rahm. What a win that would be for the PGA Tour.
Who's low live guy?
Oh, gosh.
I don't even know who's on there anymore.
It's kind of thinned out. Is Danny Willett, is he live?
Oh, you know, no, I think Willett's just irrelevant.
Sergio, he's minus one.
Yeah, he's one under. I don't think Willett's over there. I just think
he's one of those guys you see 1 week out of the year, and it's because he's a past champion.
Well, and then like if you like during coffee golf season, you know, when you'll turn on the European Tour when they're like in like Ireland in July, like you'll see him occasionally like on one of those tournaments.
All right, Rory's in the fairway bunker on 18, tied for the lead at -5. So stands to reason he'll be fine there. So no Rory implosion coming. He's gonna get to the clubhouse.
No,
either.
You were right. He joined Liv.
So yeah, you got No,
He didn't. No, he didn't. I didn't think he did. His last entry on his Wikipedia page is 2022. Yikes.
Hey, he's got a Wikipedia page. He's doing better than us.
100% better. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's find out if the NFL, speaking of TV and how people watch it, let's find out if the NFL's in trouble because Wall Street Journal had a pretty interesting report today. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kyle, we got a little bit of breaking news from Pete Thamel. Tennessee big man J.P. Estrella has committed to Michigan, he tells ESPN, delivering the Wolverines one of the most coveted big men in the portal. He continues the lineage of high-end transfer big men at Michigan as they played an outsized lineup to win the national title. How surprising was this news to you?
I'll tell you it's going to be surprising to the group chat because
they thought he was coming back.
No. Well, there was some surprise he got in the portal. There was also a lot of frustration with J.P. Estrella down the stretch because he could not finish in the paint, struggled at the rim a little bit. But they're going to put him next to another big. It's interesting. I think the proof of concept is there because he played next to Felix Akpara at Tennessee. So they did the two big thing at Tennessee. He was pretty effective in it. He just struggled to finish at the rim sometimes. I mean, that's just as simple as I can put it. But so he's maybe one rung below who I would have thought Michigan would go after. But I'll say this. If Michigan gets Ade Mara or Merez Johnson back, though, either one of those guys will be like the featured front court player. J.P. Estrella will be more of like the secondary guy who probably will feast because if he's next to Merez Johnson or Ade Mara at Michigan, those guys are offensive threats in a way that Felix Akpara really wasn't. So you got to bring a double maybe against Merez or against Mara. Therefore, Estrella is just going to be hanging out on the weak side ready to dunk. I think it could work. I'm gonna trust Dusty May on that. But that one was interesting because he got in the portal pretty quickly, and you know, on a lot of these guys, they know where they're going, and he got in with a no contact. He got in with a no contact tag.
No way.
Is it right? So it's like, okay, I didn't know. Like I had no idea he was going to Michigan, but that's. I think it makes sense. I think he'll do well there.
Also, the breaking news, according to Jason Munns, who is at Fred Smith Jr.'s commitment, Briarcrest four-star Fred Smith Jr. has committed to Memphis. So, it is this interesting thing where it's like we don't really know the value of high school recruiting. It kind of feels big for Penny. Like, and this is where this was trending. It does feel big for Penny to like pick up a local kid.
I like it. I think it's a great commitment. I think there's value to be found in these non-top 30 freshmen because the transfers command such exorbitant salaries.
Yes.
That
unless they go to Michigan.
Yeah, right. Where they're just so poor.
Yeah.
So I think I think this is great. Like you get a top 100 in the American, they could really do well. You get a top 100 freshman in that conference, especially one with a little bit of physical maturity, a little bit of size, like Fred Smith Jr. has. Like there's a real pathway for him to be impactful. Now don't mistake this for meaning Fred Smith Jr. is going to be first team right. All AAC. That's not
no,
what
but
I'm.
I totally agree. I also love, and again I'm biased because. He's friends with my dad, but John Harrington's a really good basketball coach, and he's coached him at Briarcrest.
Yeah, there's a track record there of Briarcrest guys going on and being really good at the next level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a believer in this signing. I think the morale for the program of a local kid with some pedigree and some pop choosing to stay home and play for Penny and for Memphis, we'll see how long it lasts. Like, there's no guarantee he'll stay. More than a year, but shoot, like I think it's a great building block. It's a low budget, physical sort of piece who could be a really good role player for you. That's what this team needs, is role players. We don't know who the star is going to be yet, but like whoever that guy is, you're going to need role players around him. And I think Fred Smith Jr. could be that as a freshman. And you're not breaking the bank for him. This isn't, surely, this is not some seven-figure deal. So I think this makes a lot of sense.
And then also, you know, the Bartlett kids that are all juniors, you know, this could set up a situation where they could have a nice run of actually getting some local guys.
That'd be awesome. That'd be huge. Yeah, how about Bartlett, man? My hometown on the map, playing on ESPN, producing a bunch of stud future
Jason, high major Jason college had them all in studio last week. We had a whole team in here.
It's awesome. I was actually zoned for Bolton, but then they changed that because then the whole, you know, whatever. But and I didn't go to Bartlett, but shout out to the Panthers.
Shout out to the Panthers. All right, this was the news from the Wall Street Journal earlier this morning. The Justice Department has begun an investigation into whether the NFL has violated the anti-competitive practices with its television contracts that require consumers to pay subscription costs to watch games, sources confirmed to ABC News, as was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street also wrote that the nature and the scope of the Justice Department's investigation were unknown. This, however, was one of my all-time, like, don't tell these story, tell your story. You ready for the NFL's response?
Let's go.
The NFL's media distribution model is the most fan and broadcaster friendly in the entire sports and entertainment industry. With over 87% of our games on free broadcast television, including 100% of the games in market of the competing teams, the NFL has for decades put our fans front and center in how we distribute our content. The 2025 season was our most viewed since 1989 and reflects the strengths and distribution model and its wide availability to fans. So a couple of things here. Number one, what the hell does it mean to be fan and broadcaster friendly?
Yeah, I don't know. Why do we care about being broadcaster friendly?
Well, like, also, are we talking about...
You make them pay billions of dollars to have your product. How is that broadcaster friendly?
Well, like, are we talking about the actual broadcasters? Like, the people with headsets on? Like, because it's so broadcaster friendly that a lot of these companies are looking at, like, taking money from their movie studios so that they can re-up and pay for it now. Also, never forget, Apple wanted to buy Sunday Ticket, and they wanted to offer it to fans for like $99, like have it be like a, you know, an entry point to get people to get Apple TV Plus. And the NFL, absolutely not. under no certain terms could you do that. Like, no, absolutely not. We'll give it to Google, who's going to charge even more.
Yeah. So actually, I kind of agree though that the NFL is a little like, I can get every NFL game, and I don't really even.
Well, the problem is, all right, if you want to watch your team and you live in market, that is fair. The problem is, to watch the NFL, you got to have Prime. You got to have Netflix. And then you got to have access to either a cable or linear provider and ESPN.
But it's kind of the same way for every sport now, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, they're no different than anyone else. But, like, that's the whole point, is, like, they're acting like there's something different.
Well, I would say the NFL the NFL spreads its rights over. So, like, I'm struggling to, like, get the concept of a antitrust because, in a sense, I feel like spreading your product over multiple different corporations and broadcast entities shows that you're not just like monopolizing.
I would suspect that they believe there's collusion.
Mm.
But the problem is not spreading it out. The problem is you control the market.
Mm-hmm.
And again, do I really think anything comes of this? Not really, but it is interesting. Like, if they're going after the NFL, like, we've changed the entire landscape of college athletics solely based on a television model. If they went after the NFL, like, that system collapses overnight.
Right, because there's no sport where, like, the leagues and the entire sport itself is more closely tied to broadcast networks than college football.
Yes.
So there could be some downstream effects if this were to get some teeth.
According to Mike Lee, who is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee's Subcommittee on Antitrust, Competitive Policy, and Consumer Rights, he wrote on the Everything app, "The modern distribution environment differs substantially from the conditions that precipitated this exemption," the exemption being the sports business the Sports Broadcasting Act. "Instead of a small number of free broadcast networks, the NFL now licenses games simultaneously to subscription streaming platforms, premium cable networks, and technology companies operating under the different business models. To the extent collectively licensed game packages are placed behind subscription paywalls, these arrangements may no longer align with the statutory concept of sponsored telecasting and the consumer access rationale underlying the antitrust exemption. That's why I, as chair of the Subcommittee on Antitrust, urge the DOJ to examine the Sports Broadcasting Act and its applicability to the current media landscape. I'm glad they are tackling this."
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I also like that the NFL is saying, well, hold on, guys, we have better ratings than we ever have had before. Literally everybody has better ratings than they ever have had before.
We've changed, we've changed how we track it. The numbers are juiced. Big data, yeah. Baby.
So I'm not putting stock in that. Like, I know everybody's talking about college basketball, better numbers than ever before. Like, great. That's awesome. But no, everybody else.
You and I talk about this.
Better ratings.
It's the same thing in college football. It's like, all right, tell me about the numbers next year. Because that's when you're comparing the numbers. Like, it's entirely possible the improvements were the same amount of people.
Yeah. Right. So, that needs to be a bigger part of the discussion when we have the ratings are better than ever. Okay. Well, that we've changed the way we do it. So we got to start now.
Show your work.
Yeah, and then maybe 5 years from now, we can have a discussion about the trend line.
All right, my man, we'll let you go. Have a good weekend.
Hey, appreciate you, brother. Enjoy the Masters. And, hopefully you don't get roped into too many familial responsibilities the next 3 days, but Godspeed to you.
Yeah, right back at you, buddy. That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. When we come back, let's tell your story. We'll do it next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George. For today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Let's go to Golf Channel's Brandel Chambly. When asked what he thought would have happened if Tiger Woods would never have lifted weights, quote, "He probably would have won 125 golf tournaments and 25 majors. He traded speed for strength. Maybe it helped him think he deserved it. Maybe it helped him be intimidating. And I'm sure he wanted to treat golf like a sport, but his body broke down pretty quickly, and I just don't know if it was training properly that he got that proper rest. Either way, I don't think it did him a whole lot of good. He did, however, make the sport look cool, and he looked awesome. And you can't argue with the record. But again, if he never lifted weights, 25 major championships." I want to thank David Cobb for being with us, as well as Jason Smith and Eric Hasseltine. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.